Good morning, church. Hey, while our young people are leaving, can we give God praise for our music ministry? Come on, we can do better than that. While some of us were turning over, they were making sure that they could lead us into God's presence with excellence, and for that, we're truly grateful. Also, too, would y'all do me a huge favor? Would you turn around to the rear of the amphitheater, and would you tell those folks managing sound and video, would you tell them a huge thank you? Give them a round of applause. Yeah, at many of our churches, we take the folks who are in those booths for granted until something goes wrong. Then everybody's looking back there. But we thank y'all so much for your commitment to being here, and I've watched them take time to, you know, set up the equipment and make sure everything is functioning so that you and I can experience God together. And so for that, we're really, truly grateful and thankful. I ask you all to be praying for me this morning. So, you know, I'm human just like you. And this morning, I dropped the iron on one of the lenses of my glasses. So it, like, started to melt a little bit. But that's all right. That's why you should have a second pair. So I ask if you would to grab your copy of God's Word. Meet me in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Verse 21, we're going to look at that again, and then we're going to skip over to Daniel chapter 6 afterwards. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 1, verse 21 is where we're going to start. We've been looking at this man, Daniel, the entire week, who's showing us how to sustain and remain for a long period of time, more than 70 years. And I think there are some principles that all of us can take away from this, both those that are young and those of us that are mature. I don't like that word, old. Maturing like a fine wine. Daniel chapter 1, verse 21, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, and it says these words. It says, and Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Turn with me over to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. If you're having trouble finding the book of Daniel, I want to encourage you to go to the table of contents. It's the place where all of us have had to start. And we're going to go from verse 1 down to verse 24. And it says, it seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed a what type of spirit? Come on, one more time. What type of spirit? Extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to appoint him over how much of the kingdom? The whole kingdom, or the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption. Inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, we will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides who? Besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document, that is, the injunction. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees, how many times a day? 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. Then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? The king replied, "The statement is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked." Then the king answered and spoke before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but keeps making a petition how many times a day? 3 times a day. Then as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel even until sunset. He kept exerting himself to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Recognize, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed." Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. Then the king arose at dawn at the break of day and went in haste to the lion's den. And when he had come near to the den, to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" And then Daniel said it with laughter in his voice. Daniel spoke to the king, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him. And also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime." Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Then the king gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, their wives, into the lion's den. And they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Thank y'all so much for reading with us. Some of you all, I made up for 2 days worth of devotion for you in reading all those verses. I want to encourage you to take time to read God's word every day. Today I want to talk about, in the time that we have together, to be consistent under pressure. To be consistent under pressure. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father and our great God, we are so grateful and thankful for your mercy, your loving kindness towards us. It is simply because of your mercies that we have not been consumed. Thank you for another day that we are experiencing brand new mercy. We thank you, Lord, that what we've done yesterday, the day before that, what we will do tomorrow has not already absorbed all of the mercy that you have towards us. But thank you for new mercy. Thank you, Lord, we're able to feel the sun on our face, to see the sun shining. Thank you for the reasonable portion of health and strength. We ask now that you would speak to us this morning. Would you unstop our ears, remove the scales from our eyes, and allow for us to behold the wonders of your word. Today, Lord God, would you save someone? Would you reclaim the backslider? Would you encourage the believer? Do all of this now for your glory and for our good. In the strong and matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may not know his name, but his story is rather interesting. His name is Eric Liddell. In the 1924 Olympic Games, he was expected to win the 100-meter race. He was known as Scotland's fastest runner and favorite to win the gold medal. But just before the competition, he discovered that his qualifying race was going to be held on a Sunday. And so for Eric, Sunday was the Lord's Day. His conviction was simple. He would not compete on that day, regardless of the consequences. Newspapers, they criticized him. Government officials, they pressured him. Many thought he was throwing away the opportunity of a lifetime. But Eric refused to compromise his convictions. His convictions were not built on convenience. They were built on consistency. And instead of running the 100 meters, he entered the 400-meter race, a race he was not expected to win. And before the race, someone handed him a note that said these words, "Those who honor me, I will honor." Against all expectations, Eric won the gold medal and set a new world record. His greatest victory, however, wasn't the race that was a success. It was that his convictions never changed that were this level of success. And after the Olympics, he left the fame and applause behind to serve as a missionary in China, where he faithfully preached the gospel until his death in a Japanese camp during World War II. See, Eric's story teaches you and I that consistency is more valuable than popularity, and conviction is more powerful than compromise. And that today is what you and I are going to learn and discover from Daniel chapter 6, is that Daniel's greatest miracle was not simply surviving the lion's den. His greatest miracle was that after decades of serving under multiple kings, decades of maneuvering through changing governments, decades of dealing with political intrigue and relentless pressure, he was still the same man. His prayer life hadn't changed. His integrity hadn't changed. His commitment to God hadn't changed. Because before God delivers consistent people, he first develops consistent people. Because you and I have to accept this, no matter what stage of life that you're in, is that promotion often attracts pressure. Let me say it again for those of us that are part of the Sanctify Slow, is that promotion often attracts pressure. It's not that you did anything wrong, but as you begin to elevate, the higher the altitude, the thinner the air is, the more pressure you and I are under. And many people are going to celebrate your success until your success begins to threaten their position. The higher God elevates you, the more visible your life becomes and the more scrutiny you will receive. And Daniel teaches us that consistency is what sustains what favor has elevated. First thing this passage shows you and I from Daniel chapter 1, verses 6 through 5, is that promotion always introduces new pressure. You and I, we talked about this yesterday. It says that it pleased Darius to set Daniel over the entire kingdom. Although Daniel was stepping into this new position, his superior already had bigger and grander plans for him. My brother and sister, have you stopped to think about this for a moment, that as you've been honoring God with your life, that every opportunity God presents to you is an opportunity, listen to me well, if you can be trusted. Let me help you today. Those of you who are concerned about upward mobility and how far you can go with your resources, money is a test if God can trust you. Jesus says, if you can't be trusted with unrighteous mammon, then who will trust you with true riches? Your credit report is nothing more than a report card about how you manage money and how you pay your bills. And in this case for Daniel, here was an opportunity to see he had been moved from one level to another. So now he's overseeing a larger part of this empire. Listen to me well, and managing it as a steward that actually belongs to someone else. Can I tell you today, whatever responsibility you have, you ought to do it as unto the Lord, because you are not an owner, you are a steward. I don't care if you are the founder, you are still a steward. It still belongs to a king that you represent, and you must show yourself to be consistent and manage it well. And here's Daniel. He wasn't attacked because he failed. He was attacked because he excelled. Notice the progression. He was promoted. He distinguished himself. The king planned an even greater promotion. Opposition immediately formed. And you and I must remember that pressure increases as elevation continues. And every new level brings greater visibility, greater responsibility, and greater opposition. Because our adversary rarely attacks individuals who are not advancing. Some people are going to see you as a companion, but as you continue to elevate, they begin to see you as competition. And here, we get a chance to see the strategy that people begin to build against believers who have made up their mind to remain consistent as they honor their God in their daily lives. Because competition is often born from comparison. Don't mistake resistance, increased resistance, for God's absence. Sometimes resistance is confirmation that God is pointing you towards the right direction. And as you remain consistent, the second thing this passage shows you and I is that from Daniel chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, is that your integrity will become their investigation. Look at what it says in verses 4 through 5. It says these other individuals who no longer saw Daniel as a partner, they saw him as a competitor. They began trying to find a ground of accusation in regards to him. Look at what they did. They went and they C-capped him. Okay. Those of y'all don't know what C-cap is. You can go in there. You can find out just about anybody who's ever had any type of interaction with law enforcement. Then you know what they did a step further? They started scrubbing his social media pages. Then they started talking with former people who had worked with him and worked for him to find out, what was this man consistent 20 years ago? How did he treat you as he began to elevate? Did he step on top of people? Did he talk people down? Did he have a habit of when you were after work functions, he was a completely different person than the way he portrayed himself at work? And guess what they found? They found absolutely nothing. They began to dig further. They started talking to his childhood friends. They started checking his credit report. They started asking about his business dealings. And guess what? They still found nothing. And in regards to corruption, they can find nothing. And inasmuch as he was faithful, no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. And then look what these men say in verse 5. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." Do you see that? I want to tell you, ask you today to evaluate your own life. If someone was to dig and dig and dig and dig, would the only thing they would find would be in regards to how you obey God's law? If not, you and I got to reevaluate our consistency. Because here is the question you and I must ask ourselves today. If someone investigated your life, would your spiritual consistency be your strongest evidence? But the third thing this passage shows you and I is that consistency is built before crisis arrives. Look at what happened here in Daniel chapter 6 here. Actually, before I get ahead of myself there, there's something that, I'm right exactly where I want to be. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 shows us, you and I, that consistency is built before a crisis arrived. Verse 10 says, "When Daniel knew," Lord Jesus, "the writing was signed," do you see this? "He didn't start praying, he kept on praying." Oh my God, hear me today, child of God. Prayer is not a tool that should only be broken open in case of emergencies. Far too many of us, the only time we talk to God is when there's a problem. Can I help those of you out who are parents? Try this even later this afternoon. Go to your family and say, "Hey, you all, I want us to gather together to pray together." And if someone says, "Well, what's the problem?" Houston, you've got a problem. Because we've taught and trained our children indirectly that prayer should only be used when there's a problem. But prayer can be a joy that the believer ought to have in developing your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Can I ask you that if you love your spouse the way you say you do, wouldn't you spend significant amount of time just getting to know each other? How else would you learn if she don't like ketchup and you love it? How else would you know that she actually might despise being outdoors, but she's here only because she loves you. But here is Daniel, who shows you and I that his consistency revealed that when pressure came upon him, he didn't increase his devotion because pressure arrived. Pressure had revealed his habits had already been established. Because you cannot build consistency during crisis. Crisis exposes what discipline has produced. And Daniel already had a prayer life. He had a worship life. He had a dependence on God. Your private consistency prepares you for public pressure. I'll say it again. Your private consistency prepares you for public pressure. What you repeatedly practice in peace determines how you respond under pressure. And here in verse 13, this is a significant movement here. Two, I'm going to just drop them. I'm not going to push them. The majority often fears the influence of one faithful person. Look at verse 13 here. It says, then they answered and spoke before the king. Daniel is one of the exiles from Judah who pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you sign, but keeps making his petition three times a day. I find it really ironic here that what the enemy does is that when he can't find one thing, he starts clawing, trying to bring things to the surface that don't really matter. Why does it matter that Daniel is an exile from Judah? Some of us have to examine our hearts that we can become so envious of competition and comparison instead of seeing people as partners, we will start reaching for things that don't really matter, like race, like gender. We will start to misuse or put someone and try to highlight even their age. You know, as we're elevating, we need younger minds along the way. And here is something that shows you and I that these individuals are very, they're clawing for anything they can get their hands on. And they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, because this is the man who caused an entire political system to unite against him. Listen to me well. Don't fold under the pressure, as there are more who are against you than those who are for you. Because if God placed you, you are right where you belong. Because when you and I stand for truth, it imitates and intimidates compromise. Look at this. Daniel had no army, no political coalition, no rebellion, yet an entire government became preoccupied with one man who prayed. Why? Because conviction has influence that numbers cannot measure. The majority feared what they could not control. Why don't you stop and think about that from them? If God is the only one who's ordering your steps, everybody else knows that outside influences can't change how you're going to behave and how you're going to respond. You answer to only one person. You seek the approval of only one person, and that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so don't become intimidated because you're outnumbered. Because the last thing it shows you and I here is that pressure reveals whether your faith is performance or conviction. Look at Daniel chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. Lord Jesus. Isn't it something that your faith can begin to rub off on unbelievers in such a way they start affirming what you believe? Lord Jesus. I don't know who I'm talking to in God's house today, man. I'm trying to tell you, just keep on walking with God. And when your faith becomes shaky, he will always send you reminders. I want to just offer another level of encouragement to you. You need to go to somebody's church on Sunday. Listen, it ain't okay to just sit at home watching church online. Stop being a every other Sunday type of member. You ought to show up to God's house every time the door is open.
Because I read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. There's three reminders of encouragement to believers that we ought to let us and let us and let us. Let us come with the full assurance of faith. I mean, just be honest with yourself. There are times you make it to God's house, your faith level is on E. But when you meet another brother or sister, they remind you of God's promises that it moves her from E to a quarter, Lord Jesus. And then you go to a small group, they move it from a quarter to a half. And then you hear the sermon and it pumps you all the way to full. And then as the week progresses, your faith level begins to decrease because we're human. We're earthen vessels, cheap clayware, that when the sun gets on us kind of hot, we start getting cracks and the faith we once possessed starts to leak out. But every time you get an opportunity to get around believers, you and I can keep refueling each other. And for Daniel, at this moment, his faith level was full. And he began to see, I pray you hear and hear me well today, that the lion's den was not punishment. It became proof. Because anyone can profess their faith when promotion is easy. It's real easy that when you, to get drafted into the NBA and NFL is so amazing to see these guys sent there. You know, first of all, I want to give all honor to God. Thank you, God, who opened these doors for me to be able to get here. But then, do we still thank the same God when your knee blows out, when you tear your Achilles, when all your money is gone? And here is Daniel showing you and I that this was not punishment, because real faith remains consistent when obedience becomes costly. Because pressure doesn't create character. I pray you jot this down. Pressure actually reveals character, because Daniel's faith was not situational. It was consistent. And as he was consistent, God honors consistent faithfulness. Verses 19 through 24, and we are done here for us to break out into questions, shows you and I that God honors consistent faithfulness. The same king who watched Daniel enter the den watch God deliver him. Let me tell you, my brother and sister, remain encouraged. The same people stepping on you, God gonna keep them breathing long enough to watch you come out of what they put you in. Oh, yes, they will. Oh, you need Bible to back you up. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. God's gonna let your enemies get a front row seat to watch as you remain consistent to him, how he will allow for you to prevail even through hardship, because the pressure produced persecution, then protection, then promotion, then public testimony, because the lions couldn't consume what God had already claimed. Because consistency may place you in the den, but consistency also positions you for divine deliverance. God may not prevent every den, but he always controls every lion. I want us to break out into some discussions to talk about what we've just looked at today. Our first set of discussion questions, if you pay attention to the screens here, is what's the difference between healthy competition and unhealthy comparison? And when someone else's success bothers you, what does it reveal about your own heart? And which spiritual habit, prayer, Bible reading, worship, service, generosity, has helped you remain faithful during difficult seasons? And lastly, here's our last question. Which spiritual habit, prayer, Bible reading? Oh, I got it there twice. There we go. It's there twice. So we only got two. Forgive me for that. We got two of them there. So we got two. What's the difference between healthy competition and unhealthy comparison? When someone else's success bothers you, we can just leave it there. We're good. We're good. We're going to maneuver through it. Which spiritual habit, prayer, Bible reading, worship, service, generosity, et cetera, has helped you remain faithful during difficult seasons? Here is the goal. We want you to get in groups of no more than maybe 5 to 6. Here are the rules. Everybody's got to say something. No one person can dominate the conversation. Let's go ahead. Let's get to it. And then we'll come back together here in a few moments.